You've really been busy. Watching you on Facebook and kind of tracking your campaign, you really have kind of busy. Can I tell you something I was surprised by?
Totally.
You speaking at a Republican function as a libertarian, and you were invited. Was the Lincoln Dinner?
Yes. Yeah, over at John A. Logan College.
I don't remember a libertarian being invited to come and speak before.
Well, yeah, I guess that's kind of what happens when you get on the Republican ticket. But it was great. They were very welcoming. They liked a lot what I had to say. And, you know, maybe the best moment of this campaign was after that speech. A veteran came up to me, shook my hand, told me how much he appreciated what I said. And, you know, he just thanked me sincerely.
Well, it was interesting because, you went out and did that speech. And because whenever I mentioned that, the context being, if elected, you would be the first libertarian.
Yes.
And if elected, you would be the youngest at 27.
Lots of firsts here.
But there was another item, and you sent me something a couple of weeks back that did kind of catch my attention. It was Stop Arming the Terrorists.
Yeah, Stop Arming Terrorists Act. It's H.R. 608. And, yeah, it's huge. It's been in Congress over 2 years now. It was introduced early 2016. And it's, another one of those things that's just stalled in a committee.
Well, I think a lot of people would say, wait a second, what do you mean stop arming terrorists? Of course we don't arm terrorists. What you're talking about is military gear from the U.S. showing up in the bad guy's hands.
Well, and of course we don't arm terrorists, right? And you wouldn't know it just by watching TV news. But it's a little known fact that, in fact, over $1 billion of weapons are reported to have flowed just to ISIS since we started arming moderate Syrian rebels, as one senator put it, back in 2012. There was even a Defense Intelligence report that stated clearly that the violence in Syria was taking a clear sectarian direction, and it even mentioned Islamic State 2 years before Islamic State happened, and they went ahead and did it anyway.
All right.
And nobody talks about these
things. And look what's happening literally right now that's being, in my opinion, underreported here in the United States and Syria.
Exactly.
It seems to back up those statements.
And if
blatantly.
You read the Constitution, this is for Congress to be deciding on, and them remaining silent and just pretending this issue doesn't exist is totally unacceptable to me. And, when you fight a war, it's just preposterous to think that your weapons would go to your enemies. And that's totally without even considering that we're $20 trillion in debt. We're talking about billions of dollars of weapons. And it'd be one thing if it were just history, but it's not history. It's happening today.
And imagine U.S. soldier being killed with ammunition and a weapon that was bought by U.S. taxpayers.
Yeah. It's weapons, it's Humvees, it's even tanks. In Iraq specifically, this was an ISIS, but Iran got a hold of like 10 of our tanks from Iraq. It was reported.
I wonder, when we're talking about this, have we become preoccupied with home so much that maybe that's fallen to the back burner somehow, or it's an unpleasant conversation? Because we do have these issues at home, especially when it comes to Southern Illinois. People are looking to improve their lives. I mean, and they go, but what about jobs? I mean, and then go, oh, Granite City, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder about that we have this attention deficit disorder when it comes to big subjects that are difficult.
Well, yeah, maybe big subjects. I don't think we lack attention abroad. I just think that it's not being directed to the right places abroad. I think overall, if we could stop paying attention to Syria and Iraq and Yemen and Libya, it'd be great if we could just take care of America and truly make America great again. But we're, we're so, some people are so set on putting Assad out of power that we're doing some crazy things. And it's really taken the greatest turn of insanity just recently in the past week or so.
Gouda.
So the new people we're arming now are the Kurds in northern and eastern Syria. And these Kurds, for one thing, they're a terrorist group in Turkey. Turkey is our NATO ally, and they've been at war with Turkey for years. But we're arming the Kurds hoping that they will fight against Assad. So check this out. So Turkey starts bombing these Kurds because they don't want them there on their border. And who comes to the rescue of the Kurds? Assad himself. Now it's Assad fighting with the Kurds against Turkey, our NATO ally, using the weapons that we sent to them.
you have become a lot more comfortable with the subject material since you and I first met.
Lots of practice.
It was a perfect. I mean, this has been a process, isn't it? I mean, when you start to learn all the things you think you need to know, you find out there's about three other things behind that.
That you don't know yet.
All right. I mean, when it comes to that, you know, things you've learned on the campaign, especially as you prepared to do things like interviews and you're creating your website and messaging the public, what is it that bothers you the most and drives you to want this 12th congressional district seat to say, man, I can do something about this? And when you think about that, what you could accomplish, what is it that comes to mind?
You know, it's a total lack of accountability and integrity. I am probably the biggest complaint that I hear about my opponent, Congressman Mike Bost, is that people can't get in touch with him. And I've been kind of experiencing the same way. I've called his office in Washington several times. They finally kind of scolded me and told me to call this different number since it was a campaign issue. But a few weeks ago, I met the congressman for the second time, and I gave him a copy of this H.R. 608 just because I feel it's so important. I also gave him a copy of another bill that I actually wrote myself called Defend Disarmed Peoples Act, and that's dealing with the school violence. It's on my website. But yeah, I did give him these two bills, and I've been reaching out to him ever since to find out, you know, if he's going to sign the H.R. 608 or not, and, you know, I haven't been able to get in there. So yeah, if I get in, then I'm going to be totally open and, you know, talk to whoever wants to talk to me, not just, you know, my supporters, people that give me money.
What do you have to do between now and the 20th to gain traction, to get your name to show up, to pop up in that March 20th ballot? What do you think you have to do? What have you assigned for yourself when it comes to tasks?
Well, we are getting on TV. We're going to be doing some radio ads.
Right.
But something I see as huge is getting on WSIL-TV.
Right.
I've been contacting him for weeks, and we're going to do it this coming week.
Okay. So you just what you're talking about is sheer exposure and name recognition.
Exactly.
And you know, but what comes after that is, who are you? I mean, you've always got to get that item too, I think. This is my name, and this is what I'm about. And that always means, I think, especially in the primaries, is differentiating yourself as much as you can from your opponents. What would you say to that? And how would you differentiate yourself from your opponents?
I would say that I am entirely fiscally conservative. You know, the Southern Illinoisan recently endorsed Mike Bost, and that was kind of disappointing to me. I really wanted that. But in that endorsement, they said that he's a fiscal conservative. But he and most of his party has totally departed from that. They recently passed a budget that through 2019 blows the deficit by over $1 trillion. And of all things, the Republicans, they set aside almost like $500 million for Planned Parenthood. This is anathema to anyone who is a conservative or a fiscal conservative. And this idea that these people blowing the deficits open are conservative is just crazy. So if you want a real fiscal conservative, then elect a libertarian.
All right, Preston Nelson, he's 12th Congressional District, and as he mentioned, a libertarian candidate who's on the Republican ticket. It's gotten mean, hadn't it? You notice all the statewide races? You guys have still played pretty nice compared to some of the state rep seats, things like that.
Yeah, especially the 115th, I think, is
yeah.
Those taxes.
Yeah, well, it was a big issue for a lot of people, and still is,
so.
As far as that part's concerned.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Well, Preston, do you have any upcoming public appearances you want to share with people before I let you go today?
Oh, well, this next week, I'm taking it off. All of it, you know, I'm kind of a normal person. I have a full-time job, but
right.
I'm taking off work. And I'm going to be all over the place just meeting people. So look for a guy in a green suit.
So you'll be out there in a green suit and shaking hands and kissing babies then, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's how that works.
Shaking babies, kissing hands.
That's the one that goes, it works that way too.